It's time for another week of My Tunes. And my guest this week has several jobs, various pastimes, and I've sort of known him in a few of them. And you may well have seen him on stage at the Gaiety not too long ago in a role that he's become quite familiar with, the role of Baldrick. But there's a lot more to this gentleman than treading the boards. Carl Bovenizer, welcome.
Thank you, Mark. Good morning.
And lovely to have you here.
Lovely to be here.
Let's start about talking about what you do as a job, because you've recently sort of changed track a bit, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm a qualified veterinary surgeon, and people may know me on the island. I've been practicing as a vet since 1991, many, many years. But recently I've changed. I've taken a little bit of a step back from that. I still do 2 days a week of vetting, but I've been coaching, business coaching, life coaching on and off probably for about 10 years now. And I've now decided to take that a little bit more seriously. So I'm trying to build a coaching practice. I'm working with people, transforming lives, changing people, and just bringing people where they really need to be. And I think it's a great need in society these days. More and more people are getting lost, and it's great to be someone who can help them find the way.
I'd like to come back to that later in the week, but I want to take you back straight away to Dublin, where you were born and grew up.
Mm-hmm.
How long were you there?
Well, my whole education was there. So sort of school and university. Graduated from university in 1991 and straight away pretty much moved to the Isle of Man.
And why the Isle of Man?
I only came for a couple of years.
Yeah,
well, 28 years ago.
Yes. Okay, is it because you could see it?
Yeah, I was on holidays in here in 1976 with my family and my cousin and his mum and dad. And I really liked it, even though I got food poisoning, but we won't talk about that. But I actually liked the island, and it seemed like a really nice place. And back in the sort of 90s when I qualified, veterinary wasn't as specialised as it is now, and I wanted a good mixed job to see what I liked, what I wanted to do. Was it farm? Was it horses? Was it small animal? Came down into the veterinary college in the entrance hall. There was an ad up on the notice board. Oh, would you like to come and work in the lovely Isle of Man? I thought, oh, I'll go and have a look at that. Flew over, liked it, was offered the job, and the rest, as they say, was history.
Yeah. So it wasn't a move with family. You made that decision
just
on your own.
Yeah.
And then you got your own family here.
Yep. Three boys. Yeah.
How long did it take you to realise that this was definitely where you wanted to be?
Oh, I think it's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah. It's there's some bits of it I just love, and sometimes you just want to get off. And I think I've always been lucky that I've been able to do that. You know, coming from a big city, Dublin is a big city, and now even more so than when I was there. It's massive. It's got so much to offer. And you do miss all of that stuff. And I've always missed that, you know, going to the theatre, which is probably why I got involved in theatre over here, sporting events. I love my rugby. And when you're younger and you're starting off, it's so expensive to do that, to get on and off the island. But then in the island, especially once you have kids, it just becomes a perfect place to bring up a family.
Let's talk about your first piece of music. To say that this week's music is a diverse potpourri is an understatement. Talk us through your first choice.
I've always considered my musical taste eclectic, Mark, so I'm trying to stick to that for your brief for this. The first piece goes back right to when I was a young babby. Apparently, I was a terrible sleeper.
Mm.
Didn't sleep at all. My mother, bless her, was delighted when all three of my boys were exactly the same. They all took 2 years before they sleep, and she felt it was karma because I was awful. It was 2 or 3 years before I slept properly. And some helpful neighbour one day said, look, here's a great plan. Give him a tot of whiskey and he'll drift off. I don't know whether she got the dose wrong or maybe she picked a good whiskey or a bad whiskey, but I didn't go to sleep. I ended up dancing in my playpen to this very song, which is a story that gets brought up at family meetings on a regular basis.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink, the Pink, the Pink, the savior of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case.
Mr. Fleas had sticky out ears, and it made him awful shy. And so they gave him medicinal compound. Now he's learning how to fly.
Rod the Tony was known to be bony. He would never eat his meal. And so they gave him a
medicinal compound. Now they move him round on wheels.
Wheels, drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink, the Pink, the Pink, the savior of the human race. For she invented medicinal compound, was efficacious in every case.
Old Ebenezer thought he was Julius Caesar, and so they put him in a home where they gave him medicinal compound, and now he's a emperor of Rome.
John the Hammer had a terrible sister, just the drama. He could hardly sustain a word, and so they gave him medicinal compound. Now see, never heard.
We'll drink a drink a drink to Lily the Pink. Savior of the human race, for she invented medicinal compound, most efficacious in every case.
Happy Millie ran willy-nilly when her legs they did receive, and so they rubbed on medicinal compound. Now they call her Millie B.
Jennifer Eccles had terrible freckles, and the boys all called her names. But she changed with medicinal compound, now he joins in all the games.
Despite a medicinal compound, Sandy Pickle Lily died.
Up to heaven her soul ascended, all the church bells they did ring. She took with her medicinal compound.
Morning show it is. Mark Tyler here with my guest for this week's My Tunes selection. Lily the Pink, The Scaffold Yesterday. Eclectic mix indeed, Carl Bovenizer. Eclectic mix. We'll come on to your second piece shortly. I want to take you back to Dublin again, because mm-hmm. when we were chatting earlier, before we sat down here, you were telling me you grew up in Dublin as a Protestant.
Yes.
Now, I'm very aware of the situation in Northern Ireland and how things have been over many years there. But what was it like growing up as a Protestant in Dublin, in Ireland, Ireland?
It was OK. I never felt threatened.
Right.
I grew up in a very Catholic area. You know, I would say my parents weren't wealthy, so we grew up in a very, can you use class system these days? But
yeah.
My father, working class, we would have been, you know, labourers and technicians and craftsmen and that sort of thing. And it was a very Catholic area. You knew when there was something going on. And I grew up through the hunger strikes. And I very clearly remember all of that when one of them passed away, a little black cross appeared on a string across the road in various streets along
now, where let me just clarify, these were the hunger strikes taking place in Northern Ireland.
In Loncash, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. Then the reaction to them
was in the south.
In
yeah.
the south, yeah.
But I never felt threatened. You know, for me, I had a lot of Catholic friends, but I went to a Protestant school purely on the basis that my parents wanted me to be taught in the ethos of Irish Protestantism, which I appreciated. But in saying that, I very clearly remember the Pope coming to visit Ireland in the 70s, or was it the 80s, I can't remember which, and I trudged off at 5 o'clock in the morning with my friends, walked all the way to the Phoenix Park so we could see the Pope. So for me, I never felt it defined me as such. I suppose I still talk about being an Irish Protestant, but it hasn't defined, I don't think, who and what I am.
Let's look at some of the animals you've dealt with in that side of your life and your work. Do animals still surprise you? I mean that in the sense of when they do bizarre things. I mean, we all know pets do, but when you're trying to treat them, do they sort of surprise you still?
Yeah, I think so. You wouldn't want to do the job anymore if it didn't, would you? You know,
no.
They become characters. And I've been long enough in the profession now, Mark, that I've literally seen patients from cradle to grave. You know, I've seen puppies and kittens in for their first injections, and then sadly I've had to help them on the way at the end. And it gives you a lovely little input into people's lives. And I've made friends of clients. I can happily say I've made friends of patients that I've got on with. And so, yeah, you see them grow up. You see them change as they come along. We've been lucky over the years I worked in practice. We did all the work for the wildlife park. So that always led to some interesting little stories and interesting animals to see. So I've been lucky with the broad range of animals I've seen. And then I did farm work for probably the first 20 years out of being here. I think we're always lucky over here. Farm work is hard stuff. But certainly I was always lucky that I had a great bunch of clients. I always loved going out on the farms because all the people I worked with on the farm, the Manx farmers are great. They do live up to their reputation as a great bunch of people.
Oh, my very first guest on My Tunes was Kerry Kermode, and she had a lot of praise for the support she got from your side of things over years in her farm. Now, we're going to talk about acting probably tomorrow. Music. Have you played music yourself? Are you talented in that area?
I wouldn't say talented. I learned piano when I was younger, and one of my regrets in life is that apparently I was a half-decent pianist. When I went to secondary school, my piano lessons were on my half day, and I told my mum, I'm not giving up my half day to go and do half an hour piano lesson. And they kindly agreed, when they should have clipped me about the ear and said, get on there, you'll appreciate it in the future. I can still read music, I still play, and I'm self-taught on the saxophone, but I don't really get out and I wish I did play more. I love music. Music is such an important part of my life. As a vet, I used to spend so much time in a car, driving around, and whenever I bought a new car, one of the most important things was the sound system, because I love my music. It is an integral part of my life, and every song that I've picked this week is all about songs that, which I presume is what you want, the songs that are a big part of my life and mean something. And picking four has been so difficult because of my love of music. It's just... But yeah, I'm lucky that I play a bit. My three boys all play. My eldest boy is a violinist. Middle boy is clarinet and saxophone. And my youngest plays the trumpet and cornet.
It's in the genes. Let's go to the second choice. What's it going to be?
Well, I'm very proud of being Irish. And I remember only about 3 years after I was over here, I used to listen to Irish radio. You could get it easily. And Ireland were going through their period of winning all the Eurovision Song Contests. And I was listening to my Irish radio in the week leading up to it, and they were playing a piece of music, and they were going about how great it was. And then obviously in the show, it was Riverdance. And I don't know how many of your listeners will remember that, but it was stunning. It was better than the actual singing and music in the Eurovision. And I was lucky enough about 6 or 7 months later to see the live show in Dublin. I was over in Dublin. And this song just caught me so much. It's a beautiful instrument for a start, the Uilleann pipes. Which I think has a haunting, beautiful sound. I've seen them being played live. It takes about 2 hours to tune them up before you even play. And the guy playing this piece is, I think, one of the best pipers in the world. It's a haunting piece. It reminds me of home. It reminds me of Riverdance and what that meant and what a big thing that was for Ireland at the time. We were still quite a young nation in the world at that time and in where we stood in the world, and it made a big statement. It's called Cuina Cuchulainn, which means the lament of Cuchulainn. So it is a lament.
A lament of
Cuchulainn, who was a mythical Irish warrior.
Okay.
It's just a beautiful piece. And it speaks buckets about Irish music, because it takes the old, the traditional, but it's been brought up today. and played on a stunning, stunning instrument.
Just about halfway through this week's My Tunes, and I've hardly talked to my guest about his prowess as an actor, because many of you will have seen Carl on stage, Basil Fawlty careering around, Private Walker in Dad's Army, and of course, most recently, Baldrick. I mean, you must love all that, Carl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who wouldn't? I mean, it's hard work to get there, but yeah, it's amazing. I think I did my first play in school when I was about 10, and I've sort of done some sort of acting ever since, and I love it. It just, for so many reasons, you know, when you go through bad times, and I've had a few of them in my life, it allows you to go and be somebody else. It's an escapism, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think you will not find one actor who's speaking truly doesn't say that the adulation that you get on the stage is good for the ego. not saying that's why we all do it, but it's very nice.
It's lovely to be liked.
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
Absolutely.
Of course it is.
And it's just fun. And I've been really lucky in recent years. You know, I used to do a lot of the musicals over here, and I was very much involved, very highly involved with the Douglas Choral Union, and it just became too time consuming. The quality we get in musicals over here is stunning, and we're so lucky in the Isle of Man. And I know the time and the effort and the money that goes into it. And for me, with a full-time job and a full-time family, it just became too much. It was 6 months of your time. And I was so lucky then to fall in with the Service Players with Alex Brindley. I was on a little radio slot with Alex, and he said, oh, can you come along and read for a part for me? And it was the first Blackadder we did, and it was the first time I played Baldrick. And I've made such good friends in the Service Players, and they're just a great bunch to work with. And I enjoy it as much for that as I enjoy it for the acting as well.
I couldn't agree more. For me, and I think I've seen you in nearly everything, Arcadia, which wasn't at the Gaiety, down at Port Erin, mm-hmm. was astonishing in the breadth of the language and the simple volume of words that you had to learn. It was incredible. But Basil Fawlty, for me, will always be right up there. I don't know anybody, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do Cleese, not as a copy, but in the spirit of Cleese. You took him on and delivered something I thought magnificent, Carl. Yeah,
that's very kind of you. Thank you very much, Mark. I think it is the one thing I've enjoyed most. I mean, it's difficult. I've had some real highlights on stage in the island, but that's probably just pips the top, just for pure. I mean, I loved Fawlty Towers anyway. And to get a chance to play one of your favourite characters on stage with a bunch of friends who were just equally brilliant in their acting was just superb. But it's the hardest I've ever worked on a stage. I think I probably only got all my lines right a week before the show. And as I've said to you before, every night I was literally drenched in sweat by the end of it. It's such a physical role as well as the words. But my goodness, what a joy to get that and play that and to get accolades like that, Mark. It's so appreciated because you do try to put your all into it, but I don't know what you feel like when you're on stage, but you never think you've quite done your best. And it's always nice for people to say, do you know, that was close to John Cleese. And for me, that's as good as it gets as an actor.
It was a remarkable performance. And, you know, we all love working around you in that show. If I could wave a magic wand and say, OK, next week you're going to change jobs and you can now be a professional actor and here's some work, would that appeal? Would you like to do that in the full way or not?
Do you know, one bit of me would jump at it and take it. Another bit of me, I know so many people have gone across to try and do it, and it's like any professional job. We all look at golfers and think how much money they get paid, and we look at actors and how much, and it's what the top 1% of them even make a living out of it. But if money was no object and I could get what roles I want, yes, I think I would love it. I was really lucky about a year and a half ago. I was in London and I got tickets to see No Man's Land. And it starred Sereen McKellen and Patrick Stewart. Oh my God, it was a masterclass in acting, and I just sat there and drank it in. Didn't understand the play, but it was a pinter. The first half seemed understandable, and the second half went, what?
Gone.
But the two of them, to see that standard of acting, and they just, it's like they wore a pair of old slippers, and they just slipped into these characters. I'd love to be able to act like that. Amazing.
Hey, let's have our third piece of music. What have we got?
Well, this was a toughie for me because this song has a particular resonance because I heard it and it spoke out to me the day my first son was born. That feels bad because I'm picking one song for one son and I've got three amazing sons and love them all equally, but there wasn't room to fit them all three in, so I went for this one. And the other reason I went for this is I love Tony Bennett. I think he's amazing as a singer. His phrasing of music, I love the way he takes a song and makes it his own. You can hear it because he phrases it like no one else. Even the great Sinatra, he will sing a Sinatra song and he'll make it his because he will phrase it in a different way. So this song I always associate with my first son, Charlie Being Born. So it's really important to me for that reason. And quite aptly it's called What a Difference a Day Makes.
Twenty-four little hours brought the sun and the flowers where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear, since you said you were mine. What a difference a day makes. There's a rainbow before me. Skies above can't be stormy since that moment of bliss, that thrilling kiss. It's heaven when you find romance on your menu. What a difference a day made. And the difference is you.
We're heading towards the final track of the week in this week's My Tunes with my guest Carl Bovenizer. I can't believe it's Thursday and we've come to the end of the journey, almost. Carl, thank you again for this. I want to take you back to Monday when we were talking about your split working career. Mm-hmm. Not the acting, sadly, but the working career between the vet work and the coaching work. Tell me more about the coaching work and how you see that coming on.
Gosh, I got into it because I hit a tough patch probably about 10 years ago. Sadly, our profession has an issue with mental illness. And it's great to see that it's spoken about a lot more now, and I try to speak about it.
Just to clarify that, you say an issue, is it a higher percentage of people with problems in the veterinary world?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
It's okay. A recognised problem. I mean, we've got four times the national average suicide rate.
Good grief.
There's a high level of drug addiction and alcohol addiction, and it's just a very stressful job. And normally the people who do it are the personality types that are prone to that. I had my own issues back about 10 or so years, and I got some, it was NLP, I had neuro-linguistic programming, which we don't really have time to go into what that is, but take my word for it, it's really good, I liked it, I thought I want to know more about this, I became qualified in it, and I dipped my toe in the water. I seemed to be, you know, people took quite well to the work I was doing with them, and I've played with that on and off, and I'd learned more over the years, and then I decided, as I said, about 2 years ago, I was going to do this fully, I love doing it, I'll sit in a room, I'll see the change come over people, just listening and talking and challenging them and getting transformation in them. And that's currently what's my current project, which is men's groups. And I recently traveled to California where I did training in men's emotional leadership and worked with a bunch of guys who'd all come together to do this training. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced, Mark. Mm. Men supporting each other, which they're not really allowed to do in society.
I think we're rubbish
days.
At it. Men are rubbish
allowed,
at it.
I don't think we're allowed to. We're not meant to be seen to be doing it. And actually, that's not what it used to be like. If we go back to the recent role you played of, is it Shelley? You are Mr.
Yeah.
Shelley?
Yeah.
But they gathered together. They supported each other. There was flowery language. There was talk of love of each other. And it was seen as normal. And you had that support mechanism. Whereas now men, and that probably to a certain extent women, but I'm working with men's groups, need that assistance. And men's groups just give a place, a safe place for a group of men, the same men, week in, week out, come together and just talk. And I listen to, there's no judgment, there's no storytelling. It's just, I feel absolutely, I won't use bad language, I'm acting radio.
But
then they're mates and it becomes a brotherhood and a strong, safe place for them to go, tell me about it, talk about it.
Are you hoping that side of your life will increase and the veterinary side decrease? Or
being honest, it's what I love doing. I've worked hard in veterinary for 28 years. The profession has changed a lot. I feel I've done my bit and it's time to maybe move on and find something else that I can give. You know, it's important to me that we all we all fulfill our potential. And I've found something that's going to get me to the next level, fulfilling my potential. And part of that is helping other people fulfill their potential. And that's so important to me. There's a lot of research out there, Mark, and I read a lot now, which is great. It's given me a thirst for knowledge and reading, that actually what makes us happy is service to others. And I don't mean that in a twee or in a, you know, a throwaway way. It actually is important to how we function psychologically as human beings. We function better, we function happier, we function more content if we are doing stuff to help others.
Yeah. Let's have our final piece of music. It's been a fascinating week, Carl. Thank you. Yeah.
Can I just, before we continue on, because I will get into real trouble.
After
yesterday, bigging up Charlie with his song,
yes.
I really should mention my other two boys.
Yes.
Or I will be beaten severely,
yes.
because they're obviously an equal part in my life as Charlie is. Just didn't get time to give them a song on the air. So Noah, who is away in university, currently doing journalism, has done a little bit of work with you guys in Manx Radio and absolutely
certainly
loved it.
Has.
And then Oscar, my youngest, who is doing his GCSEs in Ramsey Grammar at the moment. So just in case they feel left out.
You see, you can't teach that. Or maybe you can. Let's have this final track. Now, we could have played the ordinary version of this song by Snow Patrol, but you've chosen the acoustic version that was featured in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
What made you choose this version?
I love drama.
We've
done that. And I love film as well as shows. And over the years, because I've been so much involved in the production side, certainly in the musical theatre and the Isle of Man, you get a love and you get an appreciation for everything that makes up a show. For some reason, I love medical dramas. Maybe it's because I'm a vet. I don't know. I fell in love with Grey's Anatomy many, many years ago. It's on its 15th series now. It's how music makes such a difference to a show, especially a film or a TV show. I think it's amazing what music can do to it. And this, for me, was it a particular part of the show, and it just stood out to me. But also, when you actually start listening, I'm not a big Snow Patrol fan. I like them, but I wouldn't say I'm a super fan or anything. I think the words of this are beautiful, and it's a very pure and simple love story, but it's actually a very deep and profound way that love is shown between people. And to me, I think that's just beautiful. And one of the lines is just to lie there with you and forget the world, and just to be with somebody that you can do that with is just amazing. So
it is a fabulous song. Thank you for a great, great week.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
It's been
lovely.
Brilliant. Here it is then, the acoustic version from Grey's Anatomy. It is Chasing Cars, Snow Patrol.
We'll do it all. Everything on our own. We don't need anything or anyone. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Don't quite know how to say how I feel. Those three words are said too much. They're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Get what we'd sold before we get too old. Just show me a garden that's bursting into life. Let's waste time chasing cars around our heads. I need your grace to remind me to find my own. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life. All that I am, all that I ever was here in your perfect eyes. I just couldn't say. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
That really is a glorious version. Snow Patrol Chasing Cars, acoustic. Unplugged, if you like, from Grey's Anatomy. And my thanks again to Carl Bovenizer for joining me all this week for My Tunes. More guests will be popping up here soon as podcasts and every day, Monday to Thursday, on the Mark Tiley Morning Show, powered by Shore Isle of Man. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again soon.